record.
Yay! Okay, we got it done. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I do sincerely apologize. We had just probably so many people on this call that it really screwed with the lines to where we had a horrible echo. So some people are probably coming back on. Thank you. I'm glad we're getting this recorded because we can always have those people that were unable to listen go back and hear all of this great information that Gordon Hester is going to share with us tonight. And if you haven't heard the beginning of this series, it is a 4-series call. You can definitely go back and listen to the call from last week, and I will give that number at the end along with the recording of tonight's call. But it was a great call laying all of the foundational pieces really to this movement that we're really starting to see within the U.S. and what's happening. And Gordon has been at the helm of this, really helping strategize and coach people along. And we can't be more thankful for having you do these series of calls for us tonight, Gordon. So why don't you take it away with part two of your series for us?
Excellent. Well, Kim, thank you, and I appreciate everybody that's back this week and anybody new, and hope you enjoyed the first week's call. It was fun to kind of give you a big overview of what's going on and so we're thinking is and why everybody's so excited to give you a little bit more perspective. Sometimes I know when you're working in the field and you're busy and you're in the trenches, you lose picture, you kind of lose sight in the vision of what's really going on. So I heard great reviews from everybody. I'm glad you guys all enjoyed the call. But this week, as I mentioned, I wanted to start getting into, you know, some of the lessons. So, you know, when we talk about a movement, and certainly this was a UK movement that we've all been paying attention to for the last year, you know, what can we learn from it? You know, what is it that ultimately we can take away as lessons so that we can have this movement continue to spread and to take over? And I'm going to cover one part of this tonight and, you know, and the rest in the next two calls. But going in, I just want to kind of give you a clarity to a couple things. We're studying the UK movement first and foremost because we're seeing results there that we've never seen before. And it's really simple in business. It's a simple principle in life to remember that if you see somebody really successful, you know, success leaves clues, so go study it and follow it and figure it out. And this is what we did. Saying that, the last thing that we are looking to do is to have what's going on in the UK become what's going on in the US. We're not looking to take every system they have and every strategy they have and all their ways and to have that become the way over here, because we know this would be very destructive because different cultures work different way, different demographic groups work different ways. The goals are to take the common lessons that we can all share them in all markets, and to see things expand. And one of the things that we realized going in was that what we were really looking to do was to understand the fundamentals. So a lot of people get really stuck on studying success, and the reason is because they study strategies. They study what I call mechanics, and they study all these how-tos. And the reality is, there's great lessons in how-tos, and it's great to understand strategies that work. But sometimes what's real important is to understand why the strategies work, because that's where the real knowledge is. That's where the fundamental and the principles are. And a lot of times when you're like in a position like mine where I'm doing analysis, I have to step away from all the strategies and all the mechanics and what I see as all the noise to be able to figure out why the noise is working, and to go back to fundamentals and principles. And what I'm sharing with you is not strategies, but fundamentals and principles. So, I can tell you a story about a girl that went to NMD, and I can't remember if it was 4 or 9 months, but it really doesn't matter what the time period was, and she did it all through Twitter. And I can tell you, I never got to chat with her. I'm certainly interested sometime in chatting about her. I don't know a lot about Twitter. But the worst thing that we could do as a company or a leadership is to take whatever system she used and have it become the way for us. Because what we've begun to understand is that the job of building mechanics and systems and strategies is really the job of leadership. And it's not something that you ever want to have stop. This is where you want to invite innovation. And this is really what's going on in the U.S. to me that's really exciting. You know, this whole complete transformation movement over here is an example of that. This was new thinking, understanding some principles, going back to some basics, and then some really great leaders going in and changing things. And so much of having better results is about changing thinking. And this is kind of went on. So, you know, I want you to understand that going in, that when we looked at the U.S. system, the one thing that I will tell you is I think that we have a lot of training over here, you know, a lot of how-tos. And I've always thought that, you know, too much training equals too complicated of a sales funnel. So, you know, as you begin to simplify the sales funnel, then you begin to have better results. And this ultimately is the goal. We're looking to produce better results for our work, you know, have people have more fun and get better results. So this is something we're looking to simplify. Matter of fact, my entire lesson I'm focused on tonight is just this sales funnel, just this one piece. Out of the six lessons, it's just one of them. And the other thing that is I want to point out before I get started is that sometimes when I share the numbers, whether it's anybody's success, so, you know, you hear about some NMD that got there really quick or somebody that broke a record in 100 Club, for a lot of people, they really struggle with that. And it goes back to something I learned years ago. The two greatest sources of suffering in our culture are comparison to others and obsessing about the future. So I encourage you, when you see great numbers, run to learn, but don't go to suffer. The goal here is to celebrate your success, whatever that is, to learn from the success of others, people to do it better, to be able to get better results for the work you put in. You know, I just came back from Stuttgart, and my favorite story that I remember from Stuttgart, and they had a number of new NMDs, and it was the most memorable story of all the NMDs, and it was the one that was most celebrated at the conference. And it wasn't a person that made it in 4 months. It was a person that made it in 20 years, somebody that was in their 60s. And she talked about the magic of the journey and how many friends she's made. And she made it so clear that this wasn't a race for her. You know, she wanted to get everything out of this. And she was so happy to get there and celebrate and now to be able to help other people. So I share these things going in because as I begin to get into the call, I want you to remember to come back to these lessons about, listen, our goal isn't to be the UK, and we got to pay attention to the fundamentals. And if you hear things that start to make you feel bad because maybe your results aren't like other people's, disconnect from that. That's just a place to learn, not a place to suffer. So on that note, let me kind of get a little bit into the call. I talk about a movement, and you know, I've seen two movements. One, as I mentioned, when Jeff got into the business where I saw the company go from $1 million a month to $1 million a day in sales over a three-year period. And this was way back in the environmental days. And, boy, it was just everything was magic. It was fun. Every event was great. All the results were amazing. And, you know, we began to look at the numbers of this movement. And I just want to give you kind of a perspective from, you know, the market, not individuals. So when we look at the market, you look at the UK over a two-year period, and their customer base went literally up tenfold in 2 years. Their distributor base, or their new customer AROs, they were bringing in about 1,000 customers a month. Now they're bringing in over 30,000 customers a month, their distributor base. So the amount of people involved in the business process over there, amount of distributors and personal franchisees, more than tripled. And recruiting went up almost 20 times what it was. And we go back there now and we look, and out of the top 50 income earners, over half of them have been in the business in the UK. Top 50 income earners in the UK, over half of them have been in this business for a year. So what we are ultimately excited about is these kind of results. You know, we want to have great stories of people that have been in for a short period of time and worked really hard and had tremendous success. And so what I'm sharing with you tonight are those stories. I will tell you the UK movement is stronger now than ever. I mean, this month's another going to be another record month. What's amazing is it's spreading. You know, you take countries like Ireland. You know, Ireland was pretty much at a flat growth in 2012. Now they're growing annually at 160% a year. Spain, same thing, flat growth, now growing at 115% a year. We're seeing other groups that have benefited because of this UK movement from other teams, so this isn't one team that's doing this. And I will tell you that I believe the complete transformation and some of the other things that are going on over here are the beginning of that movement here. And as I noted last week, what I really believe in my heart is we're going to be talking about these kind of numbers and these kind of success stories in the coming months and years in the U.S. market. I believe we're at the beginning, you know, that we've done well for 20 years, but we got a gift with some people coming along and showing us what was really possible. We've learned from that gift. I begin to share those lessons with you tonight. And the ultimate goal is for all of us to benefit and for us to do what our mission is about, to inspire healthy living and to do a better job at doing it and create more success for our customers and to create more success for our franchisees, you know, for the distributors that are in this. So on that note, let me get into sort of the lesson. And maybe before I get into the lesson, let me talk about how we went about this. So as you can imagine, you know, you have something going on, and I'm part of the analysis team with the company in my business consulting role. Of course, I'm still working with Jeff and his leadership, and we have lots of leaders over in Europe. All the main leaders over in Europe are on Jeff's team. And we began to, from two perspectives. The first was from a coaching perspective. So every time I look at something from a business analyst as a coach, I always look in one of four areas. The first is are people working or are they not working? Because I know that if people are working, it is likely because they're getting really good results or they're motivated to work. You know, things just seem to be working better. And I will tell you, it was one of the takeaways we had from the Birmingham conference. So many people are working. But guess what? When you're getting great results, working isn't usually an issue. We begin to look at a market, and this point number two under the coaching analysis was, how are they growing? Are they building or are they managing? And, of course, we know that every movement is driven by people that are building new business, building new customers, building new team. You begin to see somebody like a James Lavelle who 7 months into this business had 15 PB lines and 9 of those were in POB. And, you know, you see this kind of building going on, so it's really exciting. And then we begin to say, well, point three would be, how do you build more effectively? We don't know. This is what we were going to study. We know that what they're doing is continuing to work better and better, and managing more effectively just becomes part of the process of what happens over time. So when we looked at the coaching thing, everything was like all lights are green when we look at the dashboard, you know, kind of a really exciting time. When we stepped away and looked at it from a process standpoint, so when we said, you know, kind of what's working here, why is it working, we use a pretty simple diagram to study this. And I'm not sure that I mentioned this in the last call. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I think it is important. We look at it, we call it the faucet and tub. So if you think about a bathtub, and you have a faucet that puts water in, you have a bathtub that obviously gains or loses water, and a drain that lets water. And we analyze our business this way. And the faucet begins to be about prospecting and recruiting. It begins to be about the sales funnel. And the tub, you know, the water in the tub becomes about relationships and our customer base and our teams, and are these growing? Do we can see a consistent amount of relationships staying with our culture? And the third is the loss of relationships. And what we wanted to find was which one is more important. And what we found by far is the amount of the water in the tub matters more than anything else, that with our culture and our business model, the more our customer base is growing and the more our distributor base is growing, the more successful we are at this business. And I think this might be something you want to write down and star and always remember, that the strength of your business will always be about the stability of the relationships you have with your customer and your team. We call this engagement. Now, what happens in a funnel, and when you get a really good sales funnel, is the faucet begins to have a huge impact on the amount of water in the tub. You know, you start seeing things really change quickly, like tenfold all of a sudden the customer base is bigger, because the sales funnel is working so much better. And this is what my call is about tonight, the sales funnel. So when we began to look at this, the first thing we began to break down was the faucet. You know, what does their sales system look like? And what we knew going in was great sales systems tend to be simple, and they tend to be simple because simple allows people to duplicate. And the more complexity we have to the sales funnel, the more problems we have with keeping people engaged, creating success, having duplication in our business. And I think it's important that you understand what a simple sales funnel looks like, because my belief is that one of the challenges we have and one of the things that we're changing, one of the things that I'm so optimistic about, is we now have this picture of what a simple sales funnel looks like, and we have a lot of complication, you know, a lot of sort of over-systemization, a lot of complexity in our sales funnel. There's just some things we're doing wrong, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with you. So let me start at the top. The first thing they were doing was they were focused on a transformation, an experience. And we always went back and looked at the business. If you remember from some of my other calls, this business is about engagement, the triumph of hope over experience, and the question of which one drives the business. You know, is it marketing hope, which is so much of what they talk about in network marketing, or is it really driving your business process with experiences? And what we know from the UK movement, and certainly what we know from the numbers, is that marketing hope is what's given network marketing a black eye. We overpromise, and we do this with goals and incentives and visions and whys and all these kinds of things. But at the end of the day, if those things don't come true, so we overpromise and underdeliver, we have a failed business model. So we know that the experience has to drive the business process. And to be honest with you, this is sort of what was most exciting to me about the complete transformation movement. I think that before I had come out there in August, before we had started talking about this, we had sort of gotten away from the understanding of the importance of the experience driving things, you know, and marketing results and stories, and talking about the first step in something being somebody's transformation. In other words, them feeling different, them looking different, them having some type of experience with our culture and the people in it, and how important this was as a first stage to our business process. And so what a complete transformation did, it stopped marketing a product and instead marketed a product with a system so that the conversation and the focus could begin to build around the customer experience. And I think this is a major shift and something that all of you have to understand. What we have kind of come away with is an understanding that at the end of the day, in the world that we live in, where people are so busy, they're not really interested in why something works. They just want to know how. They're looking for an answer. So marketing results, talking in results, focusing on transformations is the way a business has to work. So when we went out there, we talked about how different it would be, and this is going back now into August, if we took our products, Juice Plus or Complete or any of our products, especially the nutritional products, and we wrapped some rules around them, like exercising more or eating better or drinking more water. And when we do that, what we're going to find is one of the things we found with the UK, that by wrapping rules around your product, you no longer are marketing your product. What you're doing is marketing the results that are created from your product, and the rules become a critical piece of how that works. So when the UK movement started with Katie Ravey, what she did was she marketed Complete, and she wrapped her skinny rules around it. And if you followed these rules, you got a result. You know, you looked better, you felt better, you had better energy, and this was the innovation that we needed. We needed to see the importance of putting rules around the products. Now, I will tell you, there are lots of versions of what these rules look like. You know, we have the Complete Transformation, which, you know, I can tell you I'm a fan of. You have Transform 30. You have probably 10 different things that are going on. You even have a system as simple as like what Renee O'Neill is doing with literally giving her customers a menu, a choice, to say, look, just pick one thing you're willing to do along with taking Juice Plus so that you can get a result, because we're looking to change behavior. That's what we do. That's what we're about, inspiring healthy living. And with her little system, what she found is almost all her people were willing to do one thing, and that one thing was drink more water. And when they drank more water, all of a sudden they got a result that wasn't there before. Now, why did they get the result? Was it because of Juice Plus? Well, we know Juice Plus produces a result. We got 31 studies that show that. But what created the result was replacing what they were drinking with more water. And more water to the body is going to make the body healthier. And she had great results. So one of the things that I always encourage people to understand about the rules part is the rules help us create results, and they're important. But also remember, the more you ask of people, the less you will get. And sometimes if we make the rules too complicated or demand too much change, then we overwhelm people. So we want to have rules that are kind of simple and easy and fun, and I believe that the Complete Transformation rules fall into that. I'm sure that your customers don't necessarily follow all of the rules. Maybe they follow one, and that's okay, because one rule can make a difference. But we needed these rules to create results. And then when we got into the transformation, so we get the product and we get these rules around them, and now we get the customer focus on the result. This was the next important lesson we learned. And that was, the quicker we could produce a result, the more powerful the experience. So the speed of the result mattered. So if we could get somebody to have a result in a week, that was better than somebody getting a result in 90 days. Because the longer it takes for people to feel something or to see something or to experience something, the more they tend to kind of drift away. You might have noticed this if you ever pay attention to like the P90X programs. And those things have been on the infomercial world for the last couple years. What's changed with those programs? What's changed is now they've compressed it down to everything's about 20 minutes or 25 minutes, because they recognize they were asking too much, and that 90 days these programs were too long. They were too much, and they needed to produce a quicker result. So whatever you're doing with your customers, it's important to pay attention to how quick can I get a result. So if somebody cares about the customer experience, how quick can I create a response to their experience? You know, if they're looking at the business, how quickly can I get them a check, something that they can believe in the business? You know, this is sort of the advantage of kind of following some of the fast-track programs, that people can get great bonuses. And for some people, this is the experience they have to have. Now, I will tell you this. If you're one of those that likes to make the bonuses the focus, I have no problem with that. What I will tell you is, at the end of the day, if you don't have a growing customer base, you won't have a growing business. So if you're out there fast-tracking people to sales coordinator, and when they get to sales coordinator, they don't have a growing customer base, then what they're going to end up doing is being rebuilding. And this is the importance of building a customer base. When our business was the most solid in the U.S., the driving system that we had in place was for everybody to have a qualified business with customers. You know, to have 40 or more customers to qualify your business with personal volume. And I will tell you that if that was the foundation or part of the message of every program you have, the only problem Memphis would have would be keeping up with the growth of your business. And this is something that has to come back. We have to begin building this. So we get this transformational experience, and this is the focus. And saying that, you know, I'm talking now about experiences. So what makes an experience transformational? You know, what do you have to kind of pay attention to for experiences to work? So let me give you a list of what I think has to be there to have experiences work, if we're going to build the business that way. First is, the experience has to be positive. Positive is just a conclusion. It's something that somebody, you know, they experience and they say it's good or bad. So positive is number one. Kind of self-explanatory. Number two for me is meaningful. And this is really important, because the meaning somebody gives to something, the magnitude of the meaning starts to be about how they are emotionally impacted by an experience. So when people have an emotional experience, the experience means more to them. Their brain pays more attention to it. It's programmed in their brain differently. And I will tell you that if you can begin to create stories and experiences where people feel the value of an experience, they feel the value of our product, they feel the value of our business, they feel the value of our culture, this is when the meaning that they give to an experience really benefits you. Just remember, emotions are more powerful than logic. Somebody saying, oh, this makes sense, isn't the same thing as somebody having a profound emotional experience with your product or with you or with this culture. So meaning really is important. The third for me is it has to feel good for you. You have to be doing something that ultimately you feel good about doing. That, you know, the most successful people that I know, if success is judged by fun, absolutely love to lock arms with their customers and their team and create results. It feels good to them. It fuels their soul. It is the essence of why they're in this business. And I think you have to remember that you always have to feel good about what you're doing or you're simply going to stop doing it. The fourth one for me is it has to help others. So this is the whole transformation concept. Transformation isn't necessarily about our transformation. It's about our ability to help other people change. And this is our mission, inspiring healthy living. That's what our goal, that's what we're about as a company and a culture. So we've always been about serving the needs of others, serving a greater good. And the funny thing is if you think about feel good and helping others, what's one of the most common ways you see that? With fun. And this was something that was a huge lesson from the UK, that this group modeled and built fun into everything. When I get to one of the future calls that we have about events, I'll talk about how they went about doing this. But fun was a critical part. And if you're doing something that feels good and helps others, fun tends to be a byproduct of that. Now, the next two fit for you and others, and they are hugely important. The first one is that an experience has to create hope. So what our brain begins to do is it lives this experience and it says, I want more of this. You know, I think that if I continue to do this, something is going to happen in the future. Something's going to improve in my life. Some need is going to be met. You know, I'm going to be able to change somebody's life around me. And that experiences ultimately create all hope. That's where hope comes from. So if we do experiences really well, what we begin to do is to drive thinking and conversation around hope and how our product and our culture and a relationship that our team or our customer has with us can begin to change somebody's life for the positive. So we always have to take advantage of using experiences to drive hope. Now, the second part of that is you also have to use experiences to confirm hope. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. So often, people have hope. You know, they have visions and they have goals and all these kinds of things. And if we don't have experiences to confirm that those hopes are worth having, what happens is they go away. And I will tell you, it's one of the things we've always understood. We're always competing for people's time, focus, and attention. So if we don't do the necessary experiences to confirm that taking our product makes sense, or being part of this business is the right decision for somebody's future, or that being part of the Juice Plus company is the right home for somebody, if our experiences don't fuel those kinds of hopes, then people will disengage. And I always tell people, if you look at hope and you look at, because one of the things that people use, and this is a big thing in the UK, is a vision board. You know, they are vision board crazy. They use them everywhere, and they have vision board parties, and you know, they're hugely important to them because they're very visual by nature. But remember that hope is built around a process, so we all have intentions. You know, we all have dreams and hopes and models and pictures of what the world's supposed to look like and what we would like it to look like in the future. But if we give that intention attention, so if we start writing down our goals and we start doing vision boards and we start journaling things and we start doing this all the time, what we are constantly doing is teaching ourselves to pay attention to these attentions. And when we pay attention to them more, for a lot of people, this is what fuels the process. But at the end of the day, what we got to remember, part three of that formula is the law of Goya. And, you know, the law of Goya is the activity rule. So you can have all the intentions you want. You can do all the dream boards and vision boards and all this kind of stuff. At the end of the day, if you don't practice the law of Goya, get off your, I'll let you figure out the last part. If you practice that and you go to work and you work hard and you work deliberate, then not only will you have hope, but you will continue to fuel it and it will become stronger. And if it really works well, what happens is hope doesn't become about you. It becomes about who you are. It becomes about your identity. And what we know is this is the strongest force in everybody. And then the final thing is that a great experience actually reprograms somebody's brain. It creates new thoughts, new pieces of knowledge, new understandings about things. So if you take that list and remember, if I can check these things off, then I'm creating good experiences. But that's only part one of the sales funnel. So once we create a great experience, what's part two? Tell the world. So what do we do when we create results? We create visibility. So this is back to a simple business principle that every time you create results, the more visibility you create, the more opportunity you create. And in the UK, this was done very well through social media. And social media is something I'm going to call on another call and sort of what they did and the communication rules about it and how they went about this. But the simple fact is, if tomorrow you did nothing more but start sharing results that you've produced with your customers and with your team, and you started doing that on social media and you started doing it the right way, what you would find is people are going to come to you. I had a talk with one of the leaders in Germany when I was over in Stuttgart, and he goes, you know, the problem I have is I only have 900 friends, and I need more friends to really create what you're talking about. And I said, you don't need 900 friends. If you had 9, you could make it work, because you don't know how many of those 9 might have 4,000 friends attached to them. So if we create results in social media, we create them not just for the person we're communicating with, but everybody they know. And this played a big part of things. And what we had gotten away from was really giving visibility to results. You know, we were kind of warm market, don't tell the world, let's not use testimonials and stories, let's make sure we drive everything with the science and the education. And the simple reality is we should have always been out getting stories and telling stories. And I encourage people, not just don't use your story, use any story you can get. As I'll cover in another call, we found these stories were about three things: vanity, vitality, and lifestyle. These were the three results that they kept putting out to the world. So if you can begin to do that and do it the right way, we'll talk about that on another call, then you can begin to build part two of a successful sales funnel. Part three has two parts. So part 3A is, when we create visibility, we then convert customers to distributors. And I will tell you, they did this more successfully than we had ever seen. Just massively high percentages of people that came in because of their events and the way they did their events, which is going to be part of a future call, they came in and they were able to create a whole bunch of customers and turn them into distributors, and this played a big role. And then in addition to that, they understood that not everybody that's a customer is going to want to become a distributor. They're not going to necessarily want to join the team. So they have an entire program. They built a whole call center. The leadership literally hired and built a call center to help support the people that are on the product to continue to keep them on the product. Now, if we walk through this again, I just want you to understand how simple this becomes. What do we do first? We create an experience for somebody. What do we do second? We make sure that we tell the world about the experience they had. What do we do third? Keep the experiences going to keep them on the product, or even more important, a better strategy, convert them to be the distributor. And then if you look at, well, what are we then teaching this new person to do? Nothing else but to repeat those same steps. So when I have somebody that's converted that comes to an event and they're excited, they don't go back and listen to 10 tapes or listen to 12 how-tos. They go right back and do for somebody else the same thing they did for themselves. So they go out and they find people that want to transform. They make sure they get a result. As soon as they get a result, they feed them into the social media funnel so they can tell the world about it. And then they invite people to events. And this is the as simple as you can get as a sales funnel. This is just as easy as it can be. And I will tell you that if you build yours that simple and then you begin to get good at these pieces, and we're going to talk about these pieces more in the coming weeks, this, in my opinion, is what created the biggest difference in terms of what they're producing as a result and what everybody else is producing, this sales funnel. They're going about it differently. They're sort of going about things almost in a way that's very different to some of our traditional ways. And they're getting better results, and they're having lots of people coming in, but lots of people having success. So, you know, you're seeing people that just don't get the sales coordinator, but then they continue to go to senior sales and QNMDs. You know, I had one of them tell me the other day when I was with her in Stuttgart that, like, NMD isn't even a big deal anymore. They're putting out NMDs like some cultures, some of the other markets are putting out customers. And the reason they're doing that is because the sales funnel is that simple. And then I will tell you that their trainings, remember I talked about how many trainings you have begins to tell me how well your training, how well your sales funnel works. What I can tell you is they have one primary training, one. Their one how-to training is how to work that sales funnel that I just described. And because they keep it that simple, and because of the way they do the pieces with visibility and with their events, which we'll talk about in coming weeks, they have absolutely massive success. So I hope that gives you an idea of just lesson number one, you know, lesson number one of creating a simple and duplicatable sales funnel. There are kind of six takeaways I want to show. As I said, this is just one, and it was the most important one, so I wanted to spend some time on it. Next week on the call, I want to talk about part two of the sales funnel. So what are they doing with this visibility? How are they doing social media? You know, what sort of tips are they doing? What kind of strategies are they using? You know, what kind of basic communication rules do we all have to know to do it better? Because the simple fact is, I bet everybody on this call has Facebook. Why do they get different results than us? And the reason is because they're doing communication the right way. And I want to teach you what that right way is and what we've learned. And certainly we have to talk about, when we're talking about communication, how stories have to be told, and especially how they work in the platform of social media. So that's next week's call. The week after that, I want to go into the event structure. And this is such a big piece of why things work. They run a very different event schedule than we did and a very different structure. I want to explain what that structure is, why it works, and to be able to end the series of the call with giving you some marching orders. So you will have these new lessons and how you begin to integrate that so that you can come into Phoenix not only ready to kind of change your business and get better results for the work you're putting in, but you're coming into a conference where you're going to get to hear from some of these people, where you're going to get to hear from the U.S. leadership and the change in thinking they've had, where you can come into Phoenix more ready than any other team so that you can get the most out of the event and come out and begin to turn your business into what you really want it to be. So Kim, Deanna, I thank you for having me on the call. Thanks everybody for tuning in tonight, and I'm really excited about sharing more about communication and social media next week. Thank you.
Gordon, absolutely amazing. I just love every week. I could listen to you every day, all day long, but what I really love about this, and I love having your guidance for all of us in this movement, is how you keep coming back to the basics of having fun. And I was just talking with Deanna earlier. We were both sharing that was what got us interested in this culture and in these people years and years ago. And somehow we did come away from that. And now this whole movement of going back to that and sharing those experiences with people And obviously social media just makes it happen tenfold or a hundredfold faster than just, you know, face to face. But whatever way, I love that you said in the beginning, whatever way works for you and not exactly cookie cutter copying the UK, you know, and making it work for us over here is so, so important, because we do need to just tap into what works for us. There's so many different ways to make the one, you know, business model work in different ways. And I think we're seeing a lot of creativity and fun being built around this. And you're right. And it's because of your help and others in corporate that are really allowing this to evolve and grow organically. And I'm thrilled. It's amazing. We're seeing amazing results going on.
Let me just touch on one little quote I read the other day that really kind of opened my eyes to things. It was by the guy that runs MTV. And his quote was that simple and fun are the new rock and roll. And I think if that becomes the mentality of our business, the results will just show up.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I want to hear from Gordon, how important is conference?
Conference to us is a must. Matter of fact, Birmingham for me was a bit of a, I don't know if you want to call it a celebration, because I broke 50 conferences I've been to. So I haven't missed a conference, and I can't remember how long. Jeff built his business with conferences. I don't know anybody that truly is successful in this business that just doesn't show up at conferences but gets as many people as they can. You know, I know people that are renting houses and bringing their teams in. I believe from the data that I have, this is going to be the biggest conference we've ever had. I think this is going to be a transformational conference. It's not going to be business as usual. This conference is a must. If you're not there, you need to figure out how to get there. If you're serious about this business, make the investment in the culture. And what I can promise you is if you talk to me afterwards, you'll understand why. The experiences that people get there are different than they get anywhere else. They see a bigger picture. They see all the leadership. They begin to have different thoughts and different hopes than they ever have in any other type of meeting or any other type of interaction. So you got to make the Phoenix Conference. You know, this whole series of calls was the beginning of an exercise to help you guys have an advantage going into that convention. But make no mistake, we built these calls around coming to this convention because we know that you're going to get a better experience after these calls. You're going to go in with that advantage, but it means that you have to go to the convention. So I encourage you, all of you, to be there. I know we're all doing a big wrap-up together. I'm excited to be a part of that, so I'll get to meet a lot of you there. So, yeah, conferences are a must.
Absolutely. Amen. Thanks for doing that, Deanna, and putting that out there. And Gordon, thank you again for another spectacular call that's just building upon these stepping stones, and we're just leading right up to it. So I wanted to give to everybody the recording from last week's call. If they got on tonight and had missed last week's and they want to go back and listen to it, the recorded number is 530-881-1299. The passcode is the same, 101-67-44#, and the beginning of Gordon's series was 107 pound for the reference number. Obviously tonight is going to be 108, and then next week will be 109, and the last will be 110. And Gordon, again, thank you just from the bottom of my heart for taking this time. I know you just got back from another European conference back to back, and you are just amazingly, you know, still like an energizer bunny being able to do this. I don't know how you do it, but we do thank you greatly for your expertise and your time in all of this.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Kim, and I look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Thanks,
absolutely,
Gordon.
Let me unmute the lines and stop the recording, you guys. Give me one moment. Deanna, are you still on the line, honey?
Uh-huh.
Do you think you could try stopping it? It's not allowing me now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not letting me, but I think if we hang up, it'll still be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Gordon, that you can't hear the hundreds of people on to give you a great big shout-out, but just know they are doing it virtually for you and screaming from the top of their lungs with excitement.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you next week.
We'll see you next, too.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.